previously on Unbalanced Encounters.
Oh, boy. What a day. What a day.
Isaac, where does your mind go when you need to calm or relax yourself?
I think my daddy called us the disappropriation.
Don't push away your feelings. It sits in here like indigestion, and you just feel sick, and that's no good.
Emily, what's Mr. Spinks's AC? I think I killed my best friend. I think the world got it wrong when it chose me.
I feel much less connected to people. What I know is me, is that drive forward.
I know. And she'll reach out with her bond hand.
When you do that, guard is tangible.
From the darkness, the massive head of a dragon. And the last thing you see before you die are spectral teeth pushing into your shimmering blue wireframe skull.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to another episode of Unbalanced Encounters, the only show that dares to ask, what if Dark Souls was a screwball comedy? I'm your host, Patrick Perini. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Y'all missed a whole super secret section of Cinder shit-talking something that we're going to have to cut. So yep. that's going to be fun.
Because in the eyes of the public, I am mostly really nice, unless I'm yelling about your grammar.
Listen, but if you get him started on onions, woo boy, that was a journey I wasn't ready for.
I love onions.
A whole 30-minute spot. That's why we retook the episode.
Yeah. We couldn't stop him. We were like, Cinder, we gotta start recording. He's like, and another thing.
My grandfather was a child during the Great Depression, and his favorite snacks as an old man, and this is not a joke, was a piece of bread with mustard on it, or just eating an onion like an apple. And that was because that was pretty regularly
my
what
granddad
he had
used to do that.
When That's he was fantastic. Like a little kid to eat.
That's
so you just eat onion like apple or
raw
just mustard and bread. One of the best ways to eat raw onions legitimately is to use them to scoop hummus.
Yeah, that does track. Ooh. Actually, that would be really good. Right. That would be really
try
good.
Try everybody that has hummus and an onion, try it today. You'll be like, why does this onion taste so good?
Yeah,
because it actually makes it taste really good.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Fair. I'm gonna try that.
Weren't we in combat?
We were
My
inside
yes.
a god.
I think we hadn't rolled yet, or we were about to roll.
We were getting near it. We were dancing with it.
You're thinking about it.
Good.
We thought it was cute. We were gonna walk
flirting
around
with a bit,
flirt a little bit. Yeah.
So if I recall correctly, the five of you were in a watchtower, in a cave, in a god, and it was very dark in this watchtower, in this cave, in this god,
where the skeletons lived,
and. The last thing that we had seen before the end of our last session was that Guard had realized that he could see someone that the rest of you could not. Standing on the outer lip of this watchtower. This was a discovery that was made right before all of you heard a wyvern tear its way into existence. Two myconids down on the ground floor freak the fuck out. No one knows you're here. You have passed without trace up. Harris is concentrating on that. And so I need you to all roll initiative. You are not going to get a surprise round because all of these creatures are now aware of the myconids on the ground. But you are hidden and no one knows that you're here. So you don't need to fly into the face of this, right? Like, that's the sitch. Could I please get everyone to roll me initiative?
I got a spicy 6.
I got a 14.
19.
Makes sense, actually, that God is the one who's like first. Because he's like, I know shit's happening.
18.
Guard, you are first to act in initiative order, and you are standing in this watchtower.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, of course.
So do you know how in our game world we like aren't we do a little bit of mixing of like creature interpretations? Would this wyvern, for the purposes of game rules, be considered a monstrosity, or would it be considered more of an aberration, celestial, elemental, fae, fiend, or undead?
Well, it keeps phasing in and out of existence, so...
All right, so I'm going to... Okay, cool. Okay, boom. Okay. I will focus. I am going to fly over to... I'm going to fly over to June and to Isaac.
You are pretty much right next to June, and Isaac is behind her on the... ladder up.
So I'm going to fly so that I am between the two of them.
Okay.
I am going to boing, and do a little puff of weird light magic.
Okay.
As I spend a sorcery point and I twin cast protection from good and evil.
Oh, shit.
Casting it on both Isaac and June for the purposes of the spell. Both of you, creatures that are aberrations, celestials, elementals, fae, fiends, or undeads have disadvantage on attacks against you.
Oof.
And
nice.
You cannot be charmed or frightened by them.
That's fucking huge.
That's really good. Spicy good.
Yeah.
That said, I need you to roll a stealth check. You're going to be rolling it at disadvantage, but you still do have the plus 10 from Harissa. We're going to roll your little stay hidden.
Keep him safe.
Wow, a natural 20 and an 8, so 20 total.
A 20 is what you needed to stay hidden from this tinnin shade that only you can see, that walks 10 foot around to the other side of this watchtower and draws a bow.
Just so you guys know, there is a guy up there that none of you seem to be paying attention to. But he's gonna shoot us. Right there.
What?
Where?
Right there.
Where?
My little Rayman hand sticks out and points.
June, you're the only one who's like up high enough that you could see out of the windows of this watchtower to sort of the walkway, to the walk around the outside edge. You don't see anyone.
There's no one there, guard.
You have dark vision, right?
Yes.
Okay, who doesn't have dark vision?
I mean, Sphinx has it, but Harissa doesn't.
Harissa and Isaac? Do you have dark vision?
I got dark vision.
Okay, Harissa, you are blinded.
Oh.
There's zero light.
Guard, I can't see a foot in front of my face. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
June, you can see that far in darkness, and there's nothing there.
Is there any bond tether?
What a good fucking question. Give me an insight check. This is a little out of initiative, but I wanna reward that.
Oh, butts. That's an 8.
I think the way that I'm going to interpret that is that you're just glancing quickly as guard is talking. On an 8, you don't catch anything. You can make another check as an action on your turn to get more information. You think there could be something there. It's just like you glance out of the corner of your eye and there's nothing there. All right, guard, that's a little bit of movement and action from you. Do we have anything else?
Oh, God. If no one else can see that guy, I'm gonna try to position myself so that I am not completely in eye line with either that guy or the wyvern, but closer to that guy that no one can see.
And Isaac, it is your turn. See guard float up above you and kind of vanish through a window. You can see him because you have dark vision, but he has gotten a little further away.
And we know the Myconids are scurrying about. I'm gonna try and stealthily get into the watchtower again.
Unless you do something very active to call attention to yourself, I'm letting the stealth checks ride until you come out of hiding. So getting up is totally fine. You were pretty much at the top of the ladder, so now you're kind of up into this space. You're glancing around. You see an ancient fucking cot, some empty chests, empty broken bottles, a really worn down candle, the dregs of someone having lived here a very long time ago.
Oh, my RPG brain is yelling at me right now. I gotta open the chest.
Okay. You want to make an investigation check?
Absolutely. I have a -1 to investigation. That's an 11.
You pop open this chest and...
kick it.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da. No.
Thank you.
There are a couple of ponchos that remind you of Harissa's, actually. There's like a big sun hat that you recall as being very similar to some of the shades that you saw out in the Eastern Hills. So when you would see some of the teeny ghosts, they were all wearing these like large sun hats. All the archers were wearing these big sun hats. So you see one of these old sun hats, you know, a couple of these old ponchos. You see a short bow and a pair of old boots. It looks like this was somebody's clothing. This was like a steamer trunk that somebody was living out of. And on an 11, it's old. It's old stuff. You actually go to, like, move the short bow around, and it just crumbles into dust.
What about the sun hat?
You can pick it up. It's just a hat.
Gonna keep it.
You can put the sun hat on?
No!
Okay.
I'm gonna save it for Seth.
Put it in the inventory. Hammer space that thing away. Cool.
Isaac's that terrible, terrible family member who assumes that, I got you this because, you know, it reminded me of you.
Oh,
and it's
my.
Like, oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Isaac, can I get you to make a quick stealth check for
Absolutely.
Me? You're going to get a +10.
I did kick a chest open.
Yeah, you're going to get a +10 from Pass Without Trace. I think you make stealth checks at disadvantage regularly.
Disadvantage. Yes, I do. That is a 13 total.
Okay. You were trying to beat...
I did add the +10.
Oh,
good
oh.
Lord. You were trying to beat a 12. Whoa. This was a much lower DC, so you remain hidden. All right, that's movement and action from Isaac.
Isaac's so problematic. What am I doing?
June. Mm-hmm. You're just below Isaac on the ladder. What do you do?
Okay, I'd like to quietly follow Isaac.
Yeah.
And kind of peek around the window to try to get a better view of who would be there.
Are you looking for Bond or are you looking for Bonnie?
Looking for Bond.
Okay, give me another insight check and go ahead and make this at advantage as you take the time to really scour this space.
That's a tall one, a two.
All right, a 22. June, on a 22, you see one Bond going from a pocket of nothing exactly where Guard pointed, straight through to a space that is behind a curtain from you. So you're kind of standing in this open space, and there's a little section that's been cordoned off by a curtain, and you can catch this Bond shimmering through the window and, like, peering through the curtains.
I'm gonna pull back away from the window and whisper to Isaac, I think Guard might be right. There's something that has Bond. It's either alive or not alive, but there's something over there. I can't really see it, though.
Oh, Lord. Why is everything down here? We either can't look at it, or we can't see it, or we can't look or see at it.
June, we're going to go ahead and call that an action. Do you have any bonus actions, object interactions? You want to have a look about the space?
All right. Bonus action. I'm going to use patient defense.
I'm going to tell you this for patient defense. I'm going to tell you this. Every attack that could happen against you in this moment already has disadvantage because of protection from good and evil.
Oh, fair.
Gotcha. I'm going to hang out and just keep watch. Okay.
Guard. You see this Tanine Shade draw a bow and aim down somewhere. Let loose an arrow. And all of you hear one of the Myconids scream.
Okay, something is hunting the Myconids. We need to... Fuck, I need to be able to see.
Guard, you then see this Tanine turn around, reach into the window of the watchtower,
mm-hmm.
grab a torch, a physical torch, and a shimmering ethereal blob in the shape of the torch pulls away from that shape. He like pulls the ghost of the torch away from the torch.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
And that's snaps so his wrist, and it illuminates in white flickering flame. And then he turns as if to wave this torch to someone or something.
Okay.
And again, you are the only one who sees this. The Myconids are freaking the absolute fuck out. Could I get... who's got the highest passive perception?
16.
Yeah, okay, 16's high enough. You hear one of the Myconids go, "Yo, my other leg! God damn it! I only had the one left! Fuck! Get it open! Get it open! I'm trying! I'm trying! Listen, we only have about 8 seconds. I get it!" And they are going to make a little...
What's that face?
What is... Why you look like that?
I rolled 2 nat ones.
Oh my god.
Yay!
Snake eyes.
That's what we say? That's basically... That's the most snakiest of eyes you can get. I need y'all to understand. Pat put his fist on his hips like...
sometimes the dice just want to tell a goddamn story.
They are paid actors, after all.
None of you could see this, but literally all of you hear a wyvern roar, whip down, snap its jaws up, and a Myconid scream as it is devoured and churned through razor-sharp teeth. One of them is just gone.
Oh my god.
So if you want to parlay them. If you want to parlay with these Myconids, sooner might be important.
Myconid.
Myconid, thank you.
Yes.
Hersa, it's your turn.
Okay, I can't see, but Sphinx has dark vision. If he were to go to the edge, like go to one of the windows and look out, what can he see, like any other watchtowers?
Sphinx can get up there. Sphinx kind of clambers up this ladder and scuttles off to where Guard is, actually. That's kind of overlooking the central part of this cavern. Go ahead and make me a perception check.
11.
On an 11, Sphinx can see just the very far edge of another watchtower. That is, again, that's just out to 60 feet. You can kind of extrapolate that there is one. Sphinx can also see that from the center of this cavernous space, now that he's kind of surveying and looking for it specifically, in the same way that when you saw that kind of bloodvine portal, the word that came to your mind was ulcer. It was like a rotting hole in the bone of this tunnel. There's something that is approximately a vein, some sort of stalactite-like organic structure that is growing from the center of this cavernous space. And Sphinx can see just like the very end of it, right? He can see the furthest tip.
So there's like a big thing coming down from the ceiling, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And another watchtower.
He can also see a spectral wyvern turn to face the other Myconid and vanish.
Oh, Lord. Lord! Okay, Harissa is going to move to next to Sphinx. She is going to get Sphinx to position her, pointing towards the other tower. And she is going to fire a lit arrow at it.
Huh.
She wants to set it on fire, basically, is what Harissa wants.
Huh.
One, illuminate the area. And two, act as a bit of a distraction is the key here.
I'm going to tell you this.
I'm assuming a disadvantage, obviously. Like...
You're gonna make this attack a disadvantage.
Yeah.
It is going to... we're going to say that this is an AC of 10 to hit this thing and to start the fire. You will not be able to roll to maintain stealth. This will give away your position. It's not a bad option. It'll also alleviate you of the blinded condition and make everyone else be able to see the whole interior of this space as this fire gets started.
Yeah, I kind of think that's worth it. Okay. I'm going to give it a try. So is this at disadvantage?
Disadvantage, yeah.
Oh, shit. I rolled two 11s. So 19 is what I got.
Harissa, what does this look like?
So using the top of his head to kind of almost like a compass, he's going to point directly at and angle where she needs to fire. She draws her longbow very quietly, pulls it back, and just before she lets go, Sphinx just fires a little bit of fire on the end, and it just into the dark.
The watchtower, hundreds of years old, preserved in this cavern from sun and rain, explodes into fire. Smoke begins to fill the top of the chamber. You all can see.
Thank God.
This space is now illuminated with bright light. And Guard, only you can see the Tanine Archer Shade run around the outside of this watchtower, completely unperturbed by this fire, and levy its bow at Harissa.
Shit.
I hope for the best that he misses.
Harissa, you see this Tanine Shade blink into existence? 22 to hit?
Yeah, that hits.
That's 6 points of necrotic damage. I actually need you to make me a wisdom saving throw first.
Ugh, only a six.
Harissa, you are now frightened. Go ahead and roll me a d6, if you'd be so kind.
Four.
Okay, he is going to go ahead and take 4 points of fire damage and then disappear.
Right.
Guard, you see him continuously the whole time, but you do see the act of appearing and disappearing as phasing through a veil.
I have a question before my turn.
Actually, I want to do something before your turn because we just introduced a lair action.
Perfect.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Lair, I hardly know her.
I need everyone that is in the top of this watchtower to please make me a constitution saving throw as the cavern fills with smoke.
Oh.
Am I included in that or not?
You're immune.
Add plus 3, June.
Okay. 17 for June.
Yeah, DC 10 this turn.
That's a dirty 20 for your boy.
Fantastic.
I just hit 10 with a plus 3.
Okay, nice. You all start to feel the smoke burn at the edges of your eyes and start to thicken in your throats, but no ill effect just yet. However, I do need all of you to make me dexterity saving throws. This is going to be DC 12. If you miss by 5 or more, you're going over the edge.
Ooh. Bye, guys.
Oh no! I got a nat 20.
I got a 10.
I got an 8.
The entirety of this cavern shakes as Jonathan recoils at the fire filling this pocket of his shell, and he begins to sink. And the tower sways, and June, you stumble into Isaac, and the both of you crash into each other and go prone. Guard.
When I hear these Myconids getting attacked, it starts to do something to me a little bit. And I think that regardless of our past experiences with Myconids, I have become a changed guardian. And I don't like hearing all these Myconids getting hurt. So I'm going to hover towards where I can see a better look at everything that's happening. And the energy that swirls around my body is going to sort of... I'm going to say to the Shade Archer, I see you. And I'm going to shoot it with a guiding bolt.
Ooh, that's very fucking good. Guard, as you climb over the top of this watchtower to the ceiling, so you can be looking down at this archer, you see the full totality of this Wyvern Shade looming over the Myconid, now fully distracted by the fire. Go ahead and roll me that guidance.
Actually, oh fuck. If I see that, I might shoot at that.
Okay.
That's so dumb.
It's up to you.
I'm about to shoot at the guard, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
There's a dragon.
There's a dragon. and it's about to kill another Myconid. I do see you, though. And then turn it in the last minute, and I fire the guiding bolt at the wyvern.
Roll it, roll it.
I'm level 3. I roll so bad, I miss. Fuck.
What'd you roll?
8.
Do you have any way of juicing that? Would you?
I do, but I don't want to waste it because I only have it once a rest. I could.
It's up to you.
I'll try to juice it, sure. I think back to that yearning for something to tether myself to, and as much as it is nice to be a little floating spirit, there is an erraticness that I feel, an untetheredness, and that untetheredness almost turns into like a weird spiritual rage. And I use my power that doesn't apply here logically, but it's called Favored by the Gods. And I can add 2d4. So
no,
I mean, 6.
You're a god. There it is.
So that's 14.
A 14 hits exactly.
Nice.
Yay.
I imagine it's like this. It looks sort of like a teardrop of light kind of boom, shoots out of me and woo, pow, erupts into the wyvern. The wyvern takes 13 radiant damage, and its whole body starts to faintly glow, and the next attack against it also has advantage.
Sweet.
26 radiant damage.
Oh, it takes 26 radiant damage.
That was a chunky fucking hit, boy.
Upset with radiant damage. Goodness.
And the next creature to attack it has advantage also.
This wyvern knuckles into the bony floor, whips its head around, shakes off this guiding bolt.
And then I slowly sink behind the wall.
Brilliant.
And we can't see either of them, correct?
They can see the faint glowing light of my guiding bolt.
Yeah. Actually, I am going to say that the guiding bolt just pulls this thing out from behind the veil, so you can see it for the moment. Chonky fucking turn from a level 3 sorcerer.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's go.
Dang.
Isaac, it's your turn. There's a dragon.
Saffron, what are you thinking shooting this? And I was going to get you this hat. Holy shit, that's a dragon.
What do you mean? I'm a dragon?
Oh, that's a good point. I got to remember that.
Of course you are, Mr.
Finally,
Spence.
Finally,
yes.
You accept it.
Yeah, not just a lizard, boys.
How far away with my wonderful 15 feet of movement is said dragon?
Oh, what a good question. Why do you leave? Oh, because you got to get up. 45 feet away from you currently.
Okay.
And on the ground. So, I mean, realistically, like, I don't know what that triangle is going to be, but it's probably closer to 60 feet away.
Fantastic. I look at June and Saffir and say, I have an idea. And I immediately run out the building and jump off.
What?
Okay.
Isaac, what are you doing? You don't have wings.
And then as I'm falling, I'm going to cast Misty Step onto the dragon.
Yes.
That's the coolest shit I've ever heard
Let's
in my fucking
go.
Life.
Oh,
yes.
I think what we see is as soon as you see guards start to descend through the roof of this building, you lean out of the window, see this dragon, just parkour, throw your legs over, throw yourself off the edge. And as you are like Tom Cruise free falling through the air, vanish. Where do you appear?
I want to throw my axe in a different direction so the dragon's looking and like, what's that? And then as the axe, like, it's watching the axe, and it's like, oh, he missed. And is distracted, and then tries to turn back to see where Isaac is. Isaac's gone, and he appears, and he grabs the axe out of the air, and I want to slam it into the dragon.
Shit, boom. Man, this is some anime shit. I love it.
All right, go ahead and make that attack at advantage, please.
That's a 21 to hit. I'm going to do a level 2 smite added onto this. So hell 7 yeah, points please. Of slashing damage. 20.
Jesus.
Points of radiant damage.
Isaac, what does this thing look like as you, like, break its fucking jaw?
Whoa! Oh my god.
Yeah, like I said, he throws the axe to distract it. It turns around to see Isaac falling out, and he's probably like, okay, easy snack. And then it just realizes what is happening too late. And as that happens, Isaac just, with a side swing, putting all of his force into it, slams the axe into his jaw, gets a nice hook around the back end of the jaw, and he just yanks at that, And you guys can hear a pop, a loud crack, as the jaw is unhinged.
Ow. Jude, it's your turn.
Woof.
Okay. I have to use half my movement to get up.
Yep, half your movement to get up. So half, so 20.
Okay, so I watch Isaac leap out the window. And I'm like, oh shit, are we killing this thing? I can't jump out 50 feet though. So I'm going to run out and I'm going to look down and be like, oh, that's way too far. I'm trying to think. Can I, Pat, tell me if this is too much? Can I shoot the balsam bolt at the thing that's on fire and zing across with my staff?
Like use the balsa bolt to like anchor a zip line?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why the fuck not? This is gonna be unhinged. You need to hit just an AC 10 balsam bolt attack.
No, that's a CX.
We're uh-oh-ing? Oh no.
We're uh-oh-ing.
Uh-oh.
June, you see a spectral hand grab the bolt. And throw it down to the ground. That's one attack. You could try this again. You're just not going to get an attack when you get down to the dragon.
I'll throw a dart at the dragon. 19.
That hits.
Okay, that's 4 points of piercing damage.
Okay. This thing pretty well ignores that hit.
Question. Was the crossbow a magical item?
She used a dart.
Oh, ignore me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but was it one of those darts that you bought at Disney World during a magical time with your family?
Yeah, good point.
World, definitely known to purvey thrown weapons.
I mean, have you been?
Not recently.
There you go.
They changed up a lot of things with that new, you know.
They had to get creative now that Mickey Mouse is in the public domain.
Yeah.
This is only one kind of Mickey Mouse is public domain.
Yeah, well, that was the kind that mattered. So now they have to participate in small arms trafficking.
You thinking they weren't all right? Nope. I'm stopping now.
Oh no.
Anyway, guys, back to Sam's turn.
Anyway,
Sam,
seeing that did not work, she's gonna just go out on that because there's like that walkway on the outside of the window. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's just gonna go out that way and use her movement to do that, and wait till her next turn to figure out how to get down if she needs to get down. Do I have enough anything left to look down to try to see what the micadids are trying to open?
Yeah, give me a perception check.
Good thought.
Why am I rolling like butts? It's a 7.
It's pretty smoky up here, June.
God.
Oh, that's why you're rolling like butts.
Yeah, because of the smoke.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, June, a hand reaches out of the ether and grabs your throat. Does it 11 hit?
She takes her right hand and smacks it away. Armor class is a 16.
Amazing. Gets a second attack as this Tinian Shade corporealizes in front of you. That's going to be a 23 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
Unhand me, Brigand. Oh, nope, you got your hands on me.
June, you take 15 points of necrotic damage.
Oh, wow.
And I need you to roll me a wisdom save, please.
That attack was with disadvantage, right?
Oh, my God. No, it was flat. Let me see what the roll was.
Good call.
And she's immune to being frightened right now.
Okay, so you don't need to make the wisdom save, and the attack... the attack... Does a 17 hit?
Yes.
Okay, then the attack still would have hit. So the damage still happens, but you are immune to the frightened condition off of this, so you do not need to make the wisdom saving throw. You feel this thing try to close in around your windpipe, and you feel your muscles just steel against this thing as guard's magic kind of pulses through you.
My neck gets real bulky.
Real swole.
Hell yeah, it does.
The veins all bulging out.
This Myconid is going to try to run very far away.
No, dude, open the thing you were going to open. Don't be a coward.
Here you know what? That's going. Actually a good point, because now this dragon is fully distracted. I think the Myconid looks up and it's just like, huh? Oh, man. Okay. One shot at this. Okay, let's go. There it is. Isaac, you are the only person close enough to see this Myconid take a bathhouse token.
Interesting.
And start to kind of do a little ritual prayer with it, and the filigree lights up on this bathhouse token and it disintegrates into dust. And you see a crater open up in the ground. And this crater in the ground is not a bloodvine tunnel. This is the ground sort of opening up of its own volition. And you see that it kind of tenses a little bit in a very organic way. And what I want you to picture here is like a valve. I want you to picture like the beating of a heart kind of on the opening swing, right?
Because we're in Jonathan.
And this Myconid yeets himself into that hole. It is now the Wyvern's turn. Isaac, you're by its jaw, right?
I'm hanging from its jaw, I'm assuming.
Yeah, great. I need... Just Isaac, I need you to please make me a wisdom saving throw. You are going to be immune to the frightened condition off of this, regardless of outcome.
Ooh, I got a 14.
You do save. So instead of taking 40 psychic damage...
40?
You take 20.
Whoa!
As this wyvern whips you just in front of its mouth and unleashes its breath weapon, an icy scream. You feel your veins turn blue, your skin pull tight to your bones, and then the warmth of Guard's spell push back against the fear.
Yikes.
And then this wyvern is going to start moving. It is going to take Isaac with it. It walks over to the foot of this tower, flies up so that it is just overhead, sees Sphinx.
Hi.
And dives toward him. I need Sphinx to make a charisma saving throw.
Charisma? Oh,
don't you hurt our boy.
He's so good. He's the most charismatic part of the show.
Yeah. 100%.
Check his charisma.
He's got like a plus 35.
Oh, fuck. He's a god. Oh, no, God. Emily said, oh, fuck.
He's also going to get a plus 3 because Isaac is being forcibly put within 10 feet of him.
Oh, that's okay. That's my question. I mean, charisma for Harissa and Sphinx, unfortunately, is a minus 1. So he got 14 plus the 3, 17.
Well, the DC here was the same as Isaac's. It was a 13. And so this wyvern swoops down, attempting to possess Sphinx.
Oh.
And Sphinx pushes him off, and the wyvern...
None of that.
Disappears into the ethereal plane, and Isaac, you crash into Sphinx and land on the lip of this watchtower.
I saved you, Isaac. Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Sphinx. That was my plan. I don't know if it went well or not.
Well, you did there. And
thank you.
The way you kind of steered him up here so you could get back up to me, that was pretty badass.
Yes, exactly. That was part of the plan. Yep.
You're both prone, by the way, Sphinx.
Again, damn it.
Harissa, it's your turn.
I'm back in the fucking building.
So Harissa is frightened again.
Yeah.
But can I see what she's frightened of? Where am I avoiding?
Not at the moment.
Happening?
So you're not getting disadvantage from the frightened because this thing has disappeared again. The one that was in the fire shot you because it saw that you lit its watchtower on fire.
I think Harissa is going to help both Sphinx and Isaac up.
I'm going to say that uses all your movement.
That is fine. Can I see any of the other...
You are looking through the sort of windows of this watchtower. They are on the exact opposite side. If you beeline and make a DC 10 acrobatics or athletics check, you can get there in... Well, you have no more movement, but I would say 20 feet.
Could I shoot through the windows?
Yeah, sure. Fuck it.
Yeah. Okay, I think after getting the boys up, Harissa is going to turn around and see, I think, strangling... June, this thing, and instinctively just wincing as she pulls back the next arrow and looses it through the open windows. 15?
15 definitely does hit.
So that's 13 damage. So 4 fire damage and 9 just piercing.
You see this arrow go straight through this thing and it like bubbles around it. And even the fire doesn't seem to get purchase on its plasmic spectral body. It is resistant to both those damage types.
Oh my god. Fuck. Bloody god. Ghosts. God damn it. She is going to take Boomy out and whip it around the outside of the building.
That's fucking sick. Just try. Hell yeah.
Get, because that's a magical weapon, ladies and gents.
Yeah, good roll it.
11.
That hits.
Oh, thank God. I was like, no! 8 magical slashing damage. And I will do some extra fire anyway, because fuck it.
Sure.
1.
Halved to 0.
Yay!
You know what? I will drop at the 1.
Why not? Okay, thanks.
I'll be generous.
Oh, how sweet.
You see through the windows, you whip Boomy, and it slices through this thing's hand, and Yay. It releases June, and then it like shakes its arm, and its hand like whips back out of its plasmic form. But you did manage to do some damage.
Can I not be scared anymore?
Oh, wait, you do get to make the check again.
What is it, a wisdom?
Wisdom save, yeah. +3 from Isaac. Yeah, that ain't it.
Guys, what is the purpose of my +3 if you're going to keep rolling like shit? I need y'all to focus right now.
Harissa, you try to push down the intrusive thought of your ineptitude in this moment. There's one archer. You can do this. You've handled scarier targets before. So what if these are Tanith? And then from your periphery, the wyvern appears, and on its back is the archer, and it takes another shot at you.
That statement you just made, Pat, fuck you, dude. I don't like that one.
Does 14 hit?
Especially as like a player, I'm being very ineffectual right now.
That one was spicy. Like, You put some spice on that shit.
What did you say? What did you say? A 14?
14. A 14.
It meets, it beats.
Meets, it beats it, yep.
Yay.
You're already frightened. You take 16 points of necrotic damage.
Y'all, we're too spongy.
And then another arrow whips by your head, missing.
Oh, my God.
By 1.
We need some beefier cloaks and like
well we used to have this barbarian in our party but he jumped out a window and got exploded.
He seems like he was a really cool guy.
All right, I need everyone who's in the watchtower to make me a con save.
Huh? Oh, that's right. 28.
I got 21 this time.
2.
June, you have a choice to make in this moment. And I will give this to you as a reaction. You need to get out of this smoke, or you will be suffering from the poisoned condition until you take a long rest.
Oh, wow.
How far up am I?
50 feet.
I'm going to roll my body off of the ledge.
Okay. You are not getting the benefit of a disengage here. So I am going to make a quick attack. 19 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Take 12 necrotic damage as this thing rakes its hand across your face as you dive over the edge of this. Are you trying to use the structure of this to work your way down, or are you just free jumping?
If there's anything like a pole sticking out that she can like parkour, like she's trying to hit everything on the way down to slow the fall.
Give me acrobatics. If you hit a DC 15, we are going to knock 10 feet off of the fall distance. If you hit a DC 20, we're going to knock 20.
Okay, well, that's a 19.
Okay, so we're doing 40 foot of falling damage, which is 4d6.
Oh, no. Oh.
10. I think your falling mechanic from a monk may negate all of that. 5 times your monk level. So you're currently a 7th level monk. You negate 35 points of damage. You only took 10.
Yes!
June, you grab on to like an ancient fucking flagpole. Do a flip over it. It snaps. You start to free fall. You like reach out and jam it into the crevice of these wooden legs of this watchtower and like bounce a little bit and then drop yourself straight to the ground rolling. You take 0 points of damage. So now we're back at the top of the initiative. It's Guard's turn.
Oh, God. Okay, I quickly look around. Everybody looks alive still. That's good. You see that Guard is kind of like darting around in his space, trying to like figure out what he should do. It seems almost like overwhelmed by the whole thing a little bit. You! And I will pulse with energy as I target the archer that's riding on the wyvern, I'm going to cast Sacred Flame on him. Dexterity saving throw for that guy.
Oh, he's not great at these.
Good, because I have a really low spell save DC.
That's a 3.
I rolled maximum damage. I got 8 radiant damage, which I think is going to double.
It's
a 16.
Yeah, 16 radiant damage.
Hell yeah.
I am the Fury!
You max damage on that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to make him... He's going to make another dexterity saving throw, DC 10, to not fall off the wyvern. I rolled a 10 exactly, so you see him just... And his innate filigree and artificial tattoo illuminate with this radiant light as it starts to rip apart his spectral form. And he, like, literally falls off the back of this wyvern, and the wyvern... does a barrel roll in midair and boom, grabs him. And he is okay.
That's pretty sick.
Took a lot of fucking damage, though.
And then I am going to hide again. And just duck behind something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you are in a situation where if you're in the building, you've got full cover from almost everything that doesn't maneuver.
I have less hit points than the amount of damage the wyvern has done in one hit every time so far.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Isaac, it's your turn.
There's a way out. One of the mushroom guys found a way out. I got another idea. Yeah, how far away is that wyvern?
Goodness, probably well within 30 feet.
Okay.
You gonna jump?
Oh, yeah, you know it. As he's distracted trying to grab his rider, I want to...
Give me an athletics check, because this is a pretty big jump. We're going to say that this is going to be pretty tricky. This is going to be a DC 15. If you hit a 12, you might get there with some consequence.
19.
Okay. You stand up. You put one leg on this banister, do that math meme, all the fucking graphs and stuff appearing behind Isaac's head, and launch yourself airborne. And as this thing swoops to grab its rider, it has to put its wing out to, like, adjust the trim, and you land on its wing, and you are holding on by one hand, and you've got your axe ready. Are you going to swing on it?
Oh, yeah. 21 to hit for the first
attack.
Yeah,
that hits.
That's going to be 8 points of slashing damage. You know what I'm going to do? Bonus action. Y'all hear that thunder?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Natural 19.
Okay, yes, you absolutely hit.
Nice.
That is 10 points of slashing damage, and I'm going to put a smite on this as well as the thunderous smite.
I am rolling like ass. That's a 4. Go ahead and do all the thunderous thunder damage and all of the radiant damage from the smite.
4 points of thunder damage.
You see, that really doesn't do a whole hell of a lot to it. It seems to kind of... but is there knockback on that?
There is.
Okay, we'll talk about that at the end.
Yeah, nice.
Do the damage first.
I have 1... second level spell slot left. Risk it for the biscuit.
Radiant damage seems to be pretty popular right now.
It's the bee's knees. Yeah, we're doing it. All right. You rolled okay. 15 points of radiant damage. Straight to his wing.
The wing comes off. You see its ectoplasmic blood dissolve into a fine mist in midair as it starts to free fall out from under you.
Which means I'm free fall. I didn't think this far ahead.
That's movement and action and bonus. Isaac, you immediately fall 30 feet. The end of your next turn, you are hitting the ground. June, as you sort of come to, you dust yourself off, you stand up, you see that there's a big old hole in the ground that seems to be closing relatively quickly.
She's not going to jump into it without her friends.
You're trying to figure out how to keep it open?
I'm going to reach out with my bond hand, and I'm going to try to stop it from closing.
Yeah, fuck yeah. God, give me this is going to have to be a non-proficient strength check.
Okay.
We're going to say on a DC 15, you buy one extra round. On a DC 20, you are able to keep it open as long as you don't move.
I have inspiration, so I'm going to use my inspiration, because that was a 13. Yeah, so 15.
Okay, you wedge your arm in there, and you feel this thing is way, way fucking stronger than you. You are not going to be able to do this. And so you center yourself and focus, and your bond hand glows, and you create almost a magnetic field that keeps this thing pushed open. You are pulling the bond to keep this thing propped up. It was going to close at the end of this round. It is now going to close at the end of the next round.
Okay. Oh my She's God. Also going to yell out, hurry up!
I'm on the way.
Very quickly.
And as you yell, you see the archer that you were fighting with draw a bow. That's a 19 to hit.
Disadvantage on the attack roll.
That's a natural one.
Yes!
You are protected.
June, this arrow hits you, and you feel guard's magic shredded as it makes contact with your body. Mm-hmm. You take no damage.
I love you, guard.
I love you too.
Harissa, it is your turn.
Oh my god. Sphinx is going to fly down to June and protect her and help keep this thing open if he can, but mostly just kind of like wings over June. And Harissa is going to slide down the ladder.
Give me acrobatics. I'm just curious as to what if it consumes all of your movement.
Isaac is just realizing there's a ladder as he's falling.
A six.
Harissa, that is going to take all of your movement to slide down.
Yeah, okay, I'll head towards June. But that's,
all right.
Yeah, that's
we'll see a dash, and Harissa makes her way to the valve. Isaac, mm-hmm. The wyvern vanishes as you are hurtling toward the ground, and this Tanine is going to reach out and try to attack you. Does a 19 hit?
Does not hit.
Yes!
Yes!
Metal paladin. Finally, we're in a fight where you're wearing your fucking armor.
Nat one on the roll. So his second attack misses as well. You feel spectral hands centimeters from your face, just ice cold as you hurtle to the ground.
Thank you, God.
And Isaac, you have been slow falling a little bit as you were on top of this wyvern. And as the wyvern disappears, you pitch, right? Like you turn into a very steep fall. You realize that right above your head is that vein-like stalactite. It's growing out of the center of this cavern, and it is growing down far enough that it is right above your head. But we are at the top of the initiative order, and I need just Isaac to make me a con save. Next turn, if you are all still in this room, it is going to be everyone.
26.
You're fine. Guard, it's your turn. It is getting hard to see in here for the smoke.
How far is Isaac falling? Like, if he hits the ground, is it going to be like 50 feet, 100 feet?
If Isaac hits the ground, he's going to take 6d10 falling damage.
I am going to start making my way downtown, moving fast.
Okay.
Digging my down, but around.
What's your movement speed?
30 feet.
So you can get about halfway down this tower.
I will see Isaac, and then I will get sort of distracted by the tunnel, and then I will use my dash action to make my way down the ladder and get as close to the other two as I can.
Isaac, you are going to hit the ground at terminal velocity at the end of this turn.
You said that the vein was near me?
Yeah. It's going to be an athletics check to kind of contort yourself in this fall to be able to potentially grab it, but it seems doable.
Can I use this ghost dude to help with that?
Kick off of him? All right, yeah, go ahead. Give me an unarmed attack. If you succeed on the attack, I'm going to give you advantage on the athletics check.
You got it. 23.
Yeah, you put your nice boot into this guy. Go awesome. Ahead and give me the athletics check at advantage.
Ooh, finally some bad rolls. That's only an 8.
I can't pull the punch here. Isaac.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
No, do it. Do it. Kill him.
Oh, God.
You reach up to try to grab a hold of this thing, and your hand connects to something hot and slick. And you slip and begin to fall. That is one attack, and I'm going to say the better part of your movement.
Oh, I want to hit this bitch with a thunderous smite. Yeah, I'll do that.
AC 10.
I am dumping all my spells this fight, guys. Hey, a 10!
You hit.
Woo!
Go ahead, do all of your damage. It automatically fails the dex save.
Question.
Yeah.
Does this count as a fiend?
Yeah.
14 points of slashing damage, 8 points of thunder damage, and then another 14 points of radiant damage.
You see black, vein-like tendrils beneath the outer skin of this infection. And it recoils slightly as you hit it with your axe. And as you fall, I need you to make me a wisdom saving throw.
Natural 20 for a 29.
Oh, yes!
That's right.
Let's go.
Isaac, you see this thing begin to recede into the black smoke. Then you fall. And you hit the ground, taking 24 points of bludgeoning damage.
That could be worse. That's okay.
Oh, I think that popped my hip back in place. Fuck!
And as you hit the ground, for the briefest of moments, you are stunned. And everything goes dark.
Oh, no. Pat? No.
And Isaac, you find yourself
damn it.
In an infinite black space. The darkest recesses of your mind. A figure, roughly humanoid, in shape and made of pulsing red vines, says, "Get up, you pathetic weakling. I haven't the time for this."
"Hello, it's me, your boy, Mr. Sphinx. And today I'm in charge of the Midro. I know, bad idea, honestly. But while I have your attention, I thought I'd ask if maybe, you know, you could tell your friends about me. Because, I mean, as you know, I'm a god, right? But what use is a god without a whole load of worship? I mean, fans. So, if you could do me a favor and spread the good word of Mr. Sphinx, I'd really appreciate it. Oh, and leave me some reviews, because that'd be great too. I like to know what my followers, my fans think of me. I love you guys. You're so lovely. Oh, and now for my first commandment. I want you to listen to this awesome advert for Rapscallion. Take it away, Patrick."
"Do you like pirates? Leviathans? Our three Corsairs Care for a Baby epic, The Odyssey? If you answered aye to any of these questions, then you need to play the game we played and loved, Rapscallion. Rapscallion is a strange pirate fantasy tabletop RPG, powered by the apocalypse and built for telling thrilling tales of swashbuckling fantasy on the great sea. Alongside your found family crew, you'll fight the law, witness the weird, and join the free. For our bonus arc, we had to parlay with Whistler, Rapscallion's artist, writer, and designer, to hornswoggle a preview. But you lucky dog, can get your hands on Rapscallion much sooner. Shove off to magpiegames.com/Odyssey to join the Backer Kit campaign and get your copy." Isaac, I would like for you to please take us on a little tour of the parts of Isaac's mind that he is less than proud of.
Immediately, the beheading comes to mind. Multiple arguments with Dale.
And as you call those initial things to mind, we see the center of this nebulous space now becoming kind of a domed, almost cathedral-like space. The outer walls start to solidify, and in the same geometric structure as a Tanin's tattoo, we see those memories carved into the stonework of your mind. The beheading at its center, arguments with Dale, and then what?
How distant he is from his family. Now he doesn't know what his little brother looks like right now.
Griffin Ackstrummer, nebulous and half-remembered, spirals around a column.
Trying to think of another one. Just a lot of conversations with folks around Rally.
Yeah.
And that kind of like eye roll or disappointed face that they always give him when they know he's talking out his ass.
Another column. The disapproving glares of Leah, of Maurice, of Benny. Eyes staring out into the ether. And as you glance at that carving, that relief of a memory, you see something playing at the edges of that far wall that you can't quite make out. Please make me a perception check.
A 12.
Vines. Vines around the base of the pillars. Vines around everything. And then vines around your throat. As this blood vine golem, as you have come to know them, lifts you up onto your feet, and you feel the breath choke out of you for just a moment, and then it sets you down.
I'm assuming you're not like the others that I've come across.
That would be a safe assumption. I would have preferred to have done this in your own voice, but I can't seem to get in for some reason.
Yeah, I've been told that a bit of a rocket at some points.
I can see that. It certainly seems that you are at best tolerated by the people in your life.
So my question, as you seem to want to get into my mind, is what's your end game? One bullshitter to another.
This is an interesting question, Isaac Ackstrummer. Perhaps you would do me the kindness of telling me your end game first. What are you doing at the bottom of a hole, risking your life for things so far beyond your ken?
A few years back. Nah, more than a few now. Damn, I'm old. I thought I found my spot in life, I was a cog in the system. I thought I had everything planned out. And then something happened. Somebody threw a wrench in that plan. And then it hit me. I'm not the cog. He looks this golem straight in there where he thinks the face is. I'm not the cog. I'm the fucking wrench. And if you have some sort of plan going on that is gonna do something to this world that I'm protecting, then that's what I'm here for. To annoy the shit out of you.
An arm outstretched, a hand on your throat, a blink of an eye, and you have been dragged bodily to the far wall.
You are right on two counts, Isaac Ackstrummer. You are not a cog. You are far and away superior to those that perform menial tasks.
And he pushes your head down at an angle, and some blood vines creeping up underneath the outer wall of this space come into focus.
You look at those vines and you think of me, of my magic. You are wrong. Those belong to you. Much to my chagrin, you possess the divine power of preeminent will. What is funny?
Much to your chagrin, I'm the wrench, and I would like to cast Turn the Faithless on him.
He is going to burn a legendary resistance.
Awesome. Thought that was going to happen.
He literally wipes this spell off of his form and says,
And this is the other count upon you, which you were correct. You are the wrench. And Isaac Axtrummer, you always fucking were.
And he reaches out, punches you in the head. You fall to the ground unconscious and wake up in the cavern.
I look up at that vein.
Oh, it's gone.
You owe me one, you bastard. And he's going to run towards that hole. Shouting at Jonathan.
Yeah. You all dive into this hole and you slip down a little bit of a curve and are immediately submerged in some kind of liquid. And you are sucked away from this cavern. I need constitution saving throws from everyone who needs to breathe.
We're in his sewage
system.
Don't do it. 11.
You all find yourselves being pulled against gravity in the immense flow of this channel. You are pulled up and then left and then right and then down and then up for eons. And then you all whip past a curve and burst out into a room. And right at the end, Sphinx, who can no longer hold his breath, takes a gulp of blood. And it's going to take 10 points of poison damage. You all find yourselves dripping and blood-stained on the floor of another chamber. Columns carved from bone line the outside wall. There are reliefs carved into every available surface. And at the center is a shrine, a Tanine shrine. It is a little A-frame roof over a box that has two gilded and intricately filigreed doors that is set upon a dais in the center of the room. It looks like as though there are several places, sconces, where torches may have been lit ceremonially at one point.
I fly over and I touch one of the bones.
So the bones are large. They're the fucking walls, right?
Yeah.
Like it's just one of the columns.
Poke one.
Okay, cool. Go ahead and make me a dexterity saving throw.
Look at this. Touch.
Oh, God.
Guys, I think we should take a little... Shit.
7.
You touch this column, and immediately filigree lights up, traces up into the ceiling, and a net.
Emergency help!
Is it one of those weird hairnet things
again?
Yeah,
it is. It is. And you see that it's like, it's the way that it's been weighted is that hair is like wound around really just like old rusty like axe heads.
Where's the hair coming from?
I am not touching that.
Disgusting. I'm going to use the bond blade to cut out.
Okay. I'm free.
Why do you have to touch things? Don't touch anything.
Guard, we look with our eyes, not with our hands. All right? How is everybody? Is Isaac, are you okay? You fell a long way.
I'm all right. I met a friend of ours in my... trying to get into my head, but... this thing's made of iron. Steel.
You are hard-headed. And you can see June is kind of like limping a little bit. She's got like these big gashes on the side of her face.
She's pretty fucking badly beat up.
She's fucked up.
I think we should all just sit down, and he just collapses on the ground.
All right, everybody, gather up, come closer. Let's tend to the wounds. I've got like blood coming down from my arm from where I was shot with the arrow and things, and Sphinx is still retching
over in a corner like a cat.
My June suddenly looking for a towel to throw.
Everyone can take a short rest.
Following him around, like
as usual, guard is unfazed by damage.
I just don't understand.
As everybody is you know sitting and resting, I'm just gonna wander around and start looking at stuff.
Give me an investigation check, please.
14.
Okay. You see a couple of additional things as you sort of make your way around the outside of the room. On a 14, very easily, you see that behind the shrine, kind of obscured by it as you came in through this valve, is a very large brass bell. And it seems to be religious in some capacity, but you have no idea why.
Is there a stick near it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is. And as you go to look for the striker for this bell, you see that there is a mallet and it's kind of resting up against the far wall. And it's the spot that it's resting against is red and pulsing and kind of shot through with those dark black veins just beneath the surface.
Hey, guys. Do you think you could help get rid of these red vines? Because I really want to ring this bell.
What did I just say?
And they're sort of making it so the stick to hit the bell is hard to pick up. Isaac, could you help? Or Harissa?
Well, firstly, I am sus of all of this. And secondly, red vines are not my
Oh, we just gonna drop niche. This on me? Is that what's happening? This is my responsibility.
Listen, all I'm saying is take a look and we will see. I am not completely at ease with ringing a bell with God knows how many more ghosts around.
And what do you think
dragons.
It sounds like, though?
Can I go and investigate the shrine and the bell?
Yeah, go ahead and give me the better of a religion check an advantage or a flat investigation check.
Oh, wow. Wow. An 8.
Can I give guidance, or I guess I can't because you already rolled.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I honestly, getting above a 10 ain't going to get you a ton here.
Yeah, that's fine.
On an 8, Harissa.
Looks like a bell.
It looks. I mean, I will tell you this.
It does look like a bell, doesn't it?
I've
seen bells. I think I might have seen 3 or 4 bells.
You know, this is probably the biggest bell I've seen, I think.
It's the biggest bell I've seen, and I want to know what it sounds like. But also, there's vines right there, and I'm wondering if it's safe to even rest here with those vines. And maybe if we ring the bell, it'll make them leave. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Or it'll call more of those things that were shooting at us and trying to choke the life out of people.
My God. Guard? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Why didn't I think about this before? This is genius. You're a genius. And she's going to try and grab Guard and, like... You know, like the cheek kisses.
Yeah. So big and squishy. I love this.
Don't bite me. Just kind of like gently shaking this ghostly, wibbly form. I love you, God. I love you so, so much. Is there anything other than the mallet around that we could ring this bell with?
Anything you have on your person?
You guys have weapons and sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got a bow staff.
Ka-dung. Could I amplify it with a spell?
Probably, if you want.
I do have thermaturgy also.
Do use that. I only have 2 spells.
Yes, I am going to, fuck it, with my longbow, like sawing like a baseball bat into this bell and using thermaturgy, just like I'm going to amplify it as loud as... possible.
What are you hoping happens?
My
here?
Reason being,
yeah,
I had that little epiphany previously about bells being connected to Jonathan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thinking that this is a good thing to do. There is a bell in Jonathan. Okay. It must be there for a reason. It's also linking to my thoughts previously about my memories of the Tanine using bells to communicate with Jonathan.
Right before Harissa does this, I do want to make sure that you guys have all of the necessary information. Harissa and June, you both do see that on the sort of far back wall tucked behind a column, there is a passage that opens up immediately to a staircase you hear movement from whatever the other end of that staircase is.
I think I hear it, but don't process, because I'm so, like, this is the perfect idea. I've been thinking about bells, and finally there's a giant bell. It must be here for a fucking reason.
It must be here for a reason.
It must be here for a reason. And I'm not going to touch the
trapped thing. Everything is intentional, always.
Thing over there. Right. Exactly.
Harissa?
Yes?
You ring this bell, and all of you immediately hear the clattering of arms at the top of the stairs.
Arms? As in, like...
As in fucking weapons.
Oh. Gar got a fireball or something up in his...
Gar is a third-level spellcaster that...
Oh, I thought you had third level spells.
No,
I'm
Gard is
so
a third
sorry.
Level spellcaster that pretty much only took buffing and support spells.
It's all right, we healed up. Everyone healed up, right? Everyone had their short rest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. There you go. Fine.
Harissa, can I get a perception check from you, please?
A dirty 20.
Okay. A battalion is readying to move on your position.
A battalion? What does that even mean?
That is over. 50?
You make out roughly 50 enemies of some kind, humanoid, presumably, bearing weapons, getting ready to come down this fucking staircase. I rolled very, very well for you guys. They will be on you in 4 rounds.
Okay.
I rolled a d4. That could have gone very poorly.
Harissa is going to kneel down in front of the bell and pray to Jonathan.
Ooh.
For the love of
guidance.
Good call.
Guidance.
Give me just a spell modifier check. We're just going to do wisdom and you've got guidance.
So 15 plus the d4, which is 4. So nice. 19.
19 total?
Mm-hmm.
You will all see Harissa's eyes roll back into her head.
I'm about to be possessed.
And Harissa, you are in a glen. And you sort of push through the foliage, dappled sunlight making its way down from the trees. And you glance around and see a kind of cliff face, a little outcropping of rock. And the rock splits in half, and you see an eye swivel in your direction and dilate.
My, what big eyes you have.
What the hell are you doing here?
That was such a funny moment. That was such a funny response. I'm sorry. Nervous laughter.
I thought I told you to get out.
I heard, and respectfully, I disobeyed.
Clearly.
You have had the pleasure of being surrounded by Tanin for many centuries, until, I suppose, fairly recently. And I'm sure you know by now how tenacious we are.
Go ahead and roll me a persuasion check.
I got a nat 20.
Yeah.
For a total of 19, but I hope the nat 20 rides anyway.
I believe in you!
Dice. The dice said this our story.
Oh my god.
You remind me of someone. I had a cleric. One of your kind. Maybe 2 generations back. She came to me with a problem. An army descending on her position. Do you know what advice I gave to her? Survive.
Wise. But I hope she was able to get something helpful from it. Because on its face, that does not help.
The Tanin were gods. the great central forest made manifest its own will to survive. And what did she do but go and get herself killed for a measly bit of glass? You mortals have done enough damage. Mortality corrupted the Tanine. It corrupts all that it touches.
See, I disagree. I feel like the longer you live, the more susceptible you are to corruption. If you live such a short time on this earth, you live more true to yourself, because you know you're going to die. If you know you're not going to die, you just... the care leaves. And you know what? If this is the person I think it is you were referring to, her death led to our survival. So she took your advice. She helped us survive. If it were not for her, there would be no Tanine left.
And what good has it done?
I'm here now, am I not?
You? And what are me, little girl?
Little girl. You know what happened to the last person who called me little girl? I pushed her corpse into an icy river. Now, I and the most powerful, courageous people I have ever met are within you, trying to help you. Trying to rid you of whatever corruption you have obtained in all your many, many years on this earth. Now, would you like our help or not?
Harissa, as you see Jonathan chewing over this idea, you glance out of the corner of your eye, and all of the trees in this glen have started to turn into twisted knots of bloodroot.
It doesn't look like we have much time. I know you think in eons. You have but minutes to make this decision.
On a nat 20 persuasion, you get through. And you see Jonathan actively struggle with whatever has taken a hold of his outlook. This so-called corruption. And actually, at this exact moment, everyone that is left in the room, in the temple, sees that blood-red sort of pustule almost, like, throbbing. It is starting to, like, stress and swell. And Jonathan says,
I trusted your people, and I might choose to do so one last time. Topple the shrine.
And Harissa, as you hear this, you burst back into your body, turn to face the stairs, and what does it look like as Harissa uses turn undead?
Oh, shit.
Cool.
Still with white eyes, she puts a hand out in front of her and echoes in Tanine. Stop! And this sort of, almost like a heat wave, just bounces from her and out towards the tunnel.
Rushing wind pass up the staircase, and you hear the clatter of spectral weapons shunted back. You have bought yourself one additional turn.
She's going to turn to face you, and you see her white eyes, and then sunk. After a few blinks, her eyes come back to normal. We need to topple this shrine, apparently. Isaac, June, guard, Sphinx, help me. get this over now. And she's going to just start like...
I start casting prestidigitation to make it really dirty and befouled with filth.
Okay, you do that. I'm going to go ahead and give someone else the help action off of that. Can I get a group athletics check from the remaining four members of the party? We're going to go ahead and give
If you guys even
June,
want to do this, by the
we're going
to
give June...
Yeah. I want to do this.
We're going to give June advantage.
There's too much excitement in Harissa's voice. The guard's like, yes!
And as we get these rolls, Harissa, you see on the back of this shrine, in the same geometric filigree that your tattoo is painted in, a gold leaf impression of a tortoise shell. What is the group check?
June has a 17.
Okay. Isaac?
I just find the weakest point or the dirtiest point that Gard has made.
Sure.
And I'm gonna get in my wood chopping stance.
Yeah, yeah.
From back in the day.
Flannel shirt unbuttoned, just one button.
We're getting serious. Yeah. It's just another flannel underneath.
Get back to our roots here.
You rip it open, another flannel looks.
God.
Grab the axe. I pull back. Y'all hear the thunder? Yes. And this is my athletics check, but I do want to use Thunder Smite to add
take advantage.
To...
Amazing.
Okay.
Harissa, what's your athletics check?
I got a 10. Should I roll for Sphinx too?
Yeah.
That's a dirty 20 for Isaac.
Okay.
And an 8 for Sphinx.
I mean, that's fine. Harissa and Sphinx actually start to try to topple this thing over. And Harissa, there's a moment where you realize, like, you're not going to be able to get this structure over in fucking time. You can feel your turn undead already starting to be resisted. And your friends step in, and June pushes, and you see it, you feel it start to give a little bit, and then Isaac just like, thwack, and the four of you manage to get this thing toppled over, and beneath it is a hole.
Oh, another these hole. Damn holes!
Yeah.
Do you jump down?
He is holy.
Oh my! I'm like.
Craig, we've lost both Craig.
Isaac just like falls. Isaac just goes like this.
Isaac just ragdolls onto the ground.
I think.
Disconnects.
I think it was the southern twang of saying he is holy that hit me, and I was just like, oh. I took psychic damage.
You guys can jump down this hole. It looks like it's about a 20-foot drop down into the space below. I will say that if you have any way of covering
That's
your.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Your descent, you may be able to throw your pursuers off.
How, is the bell movable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just
going to put the bell over the hole.
Over the hole?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good
let's
idea.
Let's do it. Yeah. Amazing.
We push. Hi-ya! I great use God. All of my strength.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Beware the fury of a guardian.
I think he's moving it the opposite way somehow. I don't know how that works. If he's pushing it, but it looks like
that
he's pulling
it. Zero on my athletics just check.
I like imagining you just turn into a spectral form and you shove through the bell.
June, you see this hole open up and you immediately think like, oh, we've got to cover this. You whip around, take your bow staff, boom, knock the bell off the hook that it's on and just start pushing it over to cover as people start dropping down, presumably.
Yeah, I'm in.
Doom, doom, doom. And right at the end, June covers the hole. And drops down. And you all find yourself again in a very dark space. Harissa, you're blinded.
Yeah, fine. Used to it by now.
God damn, another fuck.
And the rest of you who have dark vision, could just go have dark vision? Not right now. Or does he?
I do have dark vision.
All right,
in this
everyone
form.
But Harissa.
Amazing.
Everyone but Harissa can actually see the entirety of this room. Which is chock-a-block full of packing crates.
Where are we? What the? Ow! Fuck! She like walks
your little pinky
box.
Toe.
June goes to smash a crate.
Before any of you can do any of that, you all hear in your head the same way that you sort of hear guard, which is like there's a real sound, but it's not it doesn't seem to emanate from anywhere in particular, right? Who goes there?
Oh my, what an ending. Oh, Patrick, what cliffhangers you leave us on. And I know I'm not alone in feeling that because we have some new patron members. We got Richard Martin coming in as a Moss advocate and Patrick Yankley, who upgraded to Rally Defender. Thank you, new people. And as always, a special thank you to our Rally Defenders. Lucas Carter, Patty, Reshes Navi, Randolph Jenkins, Michael McFarlane, Derek Silverstone, Lord Dreamore, Katie Kirby, Gamertube HD, Darksteel Panda, Craig Pate, Elderberry, and Darlene Wallace. I don't know if I'm supposed to read all the Rally Defenders, because I don't remember, and I'm not going to check. But you know what? I decided I was going to, because you guys are our champions. So thank you so much to everyone that supports the show. You're the best. High five. Go team. And we will see you in the next one.